It's that time of year again. My schedule is packed with bracket-busting, three-point shooting, nonstop basketball action. I don't want to miss a second of it, and I find myself staying up late to catch all the action. I can't be dragging the next morning. That's why I go for a 5-hour energy shot. They're perfect for my days packed with back-to-back games or when my favorite team is playing late. With over 15 flavors to choose from, like watermelon, tropical burst, blue raspberry, peach mango, and more, there's a flavor for everyone. On their website, you have the option to build your own 12-pack or 24-pack and have it delivered right to your door. And if you're out and about, you can always pick up a 5-hour energy shot at your local grocery or convenience store. They're everywhere. 5-hour energy keeps me going during the broadcast and the next morning when I need to get myself up and to work. Visit 5hourenergy.com for great deals and to stock up before the next tip-off.
True North stores have Primo Eats and Pepsi brand products that are heavy on taste and light on your wallet. Right now, buy any Primo sandwich and add a 20-ounce Pepsi brand beverage for just $1. Handmade every day, Primo uses quality meats and cheeses. Complete the meal with a Pepsi. Grab any Primo sandwich and pair it with a 20-ounce Pepsi brand beverage for just $1. Get more with the True Rewards mobile app. Available in your app store. True North convenience stores. Fast, friendly, clean.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
Tomorrow's John Dorsey Day. I have to make a big public declaration of who I want to draft. Remember? Do you?
Yeah, well, I remember that when the Baker Mayfield, right, this was suggested that it was on that particular day.
Yeah.
On April 1st. That was the day he had arrived at the conclusion they're going to take Baker Mayfield number one overall.
Should I just sack up and take Shedeur Sanders number two overall? Let's welcome in Daryl Ryder, brought to you by Scheiben Jewelers, Cleveland's premier jewelry store. Hello, Daryl.
Morning, boys.
When are you making your decision? You going to make it by John Dorsey Day tomorrow?
I've already made my decision.
Ooh, big tough talking Daryl.
What do we got?
All right, what's your decision?
I am going Travis Hunter at two, trading back into the first round, and one of these quarterbacks. I'm not sure which.
Wow,
one,
that's a lot of conviction there.
Well,
there you go.
I stepped out on the limb for Travis Hunter there.
That sucks. Your draft sucks.
Okay, well,
Travis whatever. Hunter at number two.
Yeah, can play both sides of the ball, Ken.
Oh yeah, with this coaching staff, who probably won't know which side to put him on. You take him there? You take him number two.
Ends up on special teams.
Yeah, ends up on special teams. Well, a part of the football game that we are trying to basically eliminate year by year. We'll put him there. Okay.
You want Abdul Carter, don't you, deep down?
I haven't said who I'm taking yet. You'll find out tomorrow on The Fan.
But you know what's going to happen with him, right? They're going to draft him, and then like 3 weeks later, they're going to be, yeah, he needs surgery on his feet. You know that's going to happen.
Stress reactions is what you give me every time you call in. I have a stress reaction. Man, Travis Hunter number two. That's outside the box, though, a little bit. We haven't really talked about him. We'll get back
to him. He's the guy we've talked about the least, probably. Yeah.
Exactly, and that's why I'm thinking maybe that's where they're leaning. It's the guy no one's really talking about. And that's kind of how Andrew Berry operates. Andrew doesn't put his business out there.
Well, what did you make, Daryl, at the owners' meetings down in Florida? We did get some audio. Andrew Berry saying, candidly, it's unlikely they would move up to number one. Are you surprised he'd even share that?
A little surprised, but not surprised that they're not moving up. And look, I think that's kind of why I'm not sold that they're taking Shedeur Sanders at number two. Because Cam Ward supposedly is the best quarterback in this draft class, right? And you would think that being a position of need for you, you would be interested in going to get the best player at that position. And so I'm just reading the tea leaves there and thinking, well, maybe they're not as high on Cam Ward or Shedeur Sanders as we all think they are.
So you want to move back into the first round, and you just said one of these quarterbacks. That was the quote.
Yeah, I think that just from a business of football standpoint, Ken, it makes sense. I'm not saying that these guys are worthy of that, but to get that fifth-year option in case the quarterback does actually pan out, I think it makes sense. And then if it doesn't pan out, well, you hit the eject button after three seasons.
See, I don't like them doing that. Let me tell you why. It almost feels like they're doubling down. No, it's not almost. You're doubling down on indecision because everybody and the brother knows you need a quarterback.
Yeah.
And you pass on these guys. All right, you need a quarterback, but there's something about these guys you don't want to draft them just there. So well, then you draft back up. So then you're talking, I mean, real quick, Darryl, it's like, I'm not blaming you for this, but it's like you're talking me into taking a guy instead of trying to talk me out of it. I think there needs to be a difference there.
Well, my point is Travis Hunter and Abdul Carter are better players than Cam Ward and Shedeur Sanders. That's my point. And that's why I lean either one of those guys at two over the quarterbacks, because I think they are better players. And I'm not sold on any of these quarterbacks in the draft. I think this is a terrible quarterback draft class. And I don't think I'm alone in that thought. I think a lot of people in the NFL aren't crazy about this particular quarterback draft class. But just trying to think logically here and how maybe Andrew Berry might be thinking about this as well. Yeah, it's a need. He said yesterday that the room is going to skew younger, which tells me they will most likely draft not one. Maybe they'll draft two, or you know that second young quarterback is going to be an undrafted rookie free agent. But if they're going to run Kenny Pickett out there in week one, I think we know what it is, right? So
they're going to run Kenny Pickett out there?
I think there's a chance.
Oh,
I
that's mean, upsetting.
Andrew Berry doesn't seem all that in a hurry to bring in another veteran at this point, and he even kind of said as much yesterday. You know, there's no sense of urgency, and it just goes back to, I know you hate me saying it, Ken, but it just goes back to what I've been saying all offseason. There are no good veteran options available.
Well,
at least veteran options that the Browns are willing to fit into their, you know, particular budget and commitment level and whatnot. So they're going to go young. I think it's a very good chance that whatever quarterback they draft is on the field week one, and they're going to try and give Kevin Stefanski and Tommy Reese and this coaching staff an opportunity to develop a young quarterback with this team and see if they can find something.
I'll tell you what, like, but going back to the better overall football player thing, man, I get that, all right? I get it. But also, like, Myles Garrett, I think, is a better overall football player than Jared Goff, than Jaden Daniels, right, than C.J. Stroud.
That's fair.
And you're going to give those teams a lot better chances of going to a Super Bowl than you are the Cleveland Browns. So, I mean, hell, it's just like, man, we're either in business with Shedeur Sanders or we're out of business with Shedeur Sanders. I don't think there's any sort of getting back in business with the guy.
Yeah. I mean, look, this is what Andrew Berry has to decide. Who does he want to jump in business with? And which of these young kids is the best option that fits what Kevin Stefanski wants to do offensively? Which of these kids does he believe has the opportunity to be a franchise changer? Because that's what the Browns need. They don't need another Baker Mayfield. They don't need a guy that's going to, you know, give you 50 starts and maybe get you to the playoffs. Where they need somebody that can compete with Patrick Mahomes, Josh Allen, Joe Burrow, Justin Herbert, Lamar Jackson. That's the player they need. And when you look at this particular draft class, you're going to have to project which one of these young guys, you know, whether it's Ward, whether it's Sanders, whether it's Milroe or, you know, Dart, or, you know, it's on Berry to figure out which one of these kids is the best of the best that's going to help you do that. And I don't envy Andrew Berry in the least.
Darryl Ryder with us right now on the hotline. What'd you make of the Kirk Cousins, the rationale that the sleuths, the gumshoes on social media saying it was about getting a physical and getting cleared for potential trade?
Yeah, I mean, Andrew Berry said that he was, you know, it basically said what I said last week, that, you know, Kirk was not here on business with the Browns. I am, based on Barry's comments yesterday, I'm less and less convinced that they're going to trade for Kirk Cousins.
Wow.
I really think that they are going to go young in that quarterback room. And again, they're going to leave it to Stefanski to develop the kid. And it goes to my theory. You know, everyone's talking about job security and people getting fired next January. I don't know if that's going to happen either. I think that the more I think about this, I think Barry and Stefanski, because they work well together, I think they're going to get a chance to you know, get this thing on track with a young quarterback. I really do. And think about it. One of the primary reasons Browns ownership changes people out is because they don't work well together behind the scenes. And that's not a problem with Barry and Stefanski. So kind of keep that in the back of your head, too.
All right, Daryl, so we are sitting here hashing it out about the quarterback situation. How would you grade overall free agency as we enter, what, week five at this point for the Browns?
I'd probably say a C. This was not the year to spend big dollars in free agency. You know, it's not a free agency that's going to sell a lot of season tickets or a lot of jerseys in the team shop. But you know, Andrew Berry, I think the most important thing Andrew Berry did was he added versatility and depth to the offensive line. And where does that apply? Most, a young rookie quarterback. Mm. You're able to protect him right out of the gate, right? You know, Joe Burrow, as great as he is, aside from last season with the Bengals defense being just awful, you know, one of the big criticisms of the Bengals since taking Joe Burrow is, well, they're not protecting him. Their offensive line isn't good enough. Well, I think that the Browns are setting themselves up, or at least trying to position themselves for success with a young quarterback by making sure that they insulate their offensive line should guys get hurt. And let's be honest about it. You got DeJuan Jones coming off surgery again. Jack Conklin, unfortunately, has been bitten by the injury bug quite a bit since signing here, right? So you've added some depth and versatility up front, and I think that helps you should guys get hurt, you know, come the regular season, and you got a young quarterback out there. You feel pretty good about the players you put on the field to replace them.
Daryl Rotter brought to you by Chauvin Jewelers, Cleveland's premier jewelry store. So would you trade out a number two? Would you make that move? Because I don't know how many people are willing to move up with you at this level. Because if everybody's saying what they're saying about Shador Sanders, like, all right, well, yeah, why is someone going to trade up with you then?
No, I hear you. I think that if they trade down, then that obviously takes you out of the Carter and Hunter sweepstakes, mm-hmm, and now you're looking at drafting an offensive tackle. And I know how much, you know, that'll just really excite everybody. And I do feel like there is an element to this draft where the Browns do want to bring in a player that's going to excite the fan base. It's going to get people excited. And I'm not saying that that's the motivation behind the pick, but, you know, that's kind of part of it too. You want a blue chip player that can help you immediately on the football field. And so I think more than likely, just right now, reading the tea leaves of what Kevin Stefanski and what Andrew Berry are saying down at the owners' meetings, I think staying at two, picking their player there probably makes the most sense. But if they trade back, yeah, get ready for another offensive tackle.
What about Mason Graham? That's a nice defensive tackle.
Yeah. Yeah, I mean, I'd be okay with that too, but I think that if they trade back, there's going to be some air falling out of that balloon when it comes to fans. You know what I mean?
And
look, you can't run your football team that way, but there is an element here. You're coming off 3-14. A lot of folks are very, very unhappy right now that are Browns fans, and understandably so. But I'm sorry, Ken. I know you want me to sit here and say they should go after Cam Ward. They should
draft
Shador Sanders, but I just I can't bring myself to do it.
If you don't feel it, you don't feel it. I'm not going to make you feel it. I just don't want to hear nothing about dumpster fires and whatnot, especially if these other quarterbacks are doing well coming up in September. I don't want to hear that.
But here's the thing, Ken. My opinion don't matter. What matters is that Andrew Berry gets it right.
Nah, to hell with it. I need to hear your opinion.
If Andrew Berry gets it wrong, you got to go. That's the way it goes.
He's had a lot of wrongs there.
Yeah,
he's had a lot of those. Daryl, Jimmy has them going to all the meetings and taking guys to dinner and all that stuff. You good with that?
Yeah, he owns the team. It's his right to do. As long as Andrew Berry's making the call on the pick, that's fine. But he owns the team, and he has every right to get to know prospective new employees or however you want to put it. But the most important thing, though, is that it is Andrew Berry and the front office, and I mean the personnel department, in conjunction with obviously Kevin Stefanski and his coaching staff, that the football people are the ones pulling the trigger on the moves. Otherwise, that not a big deal.
Quickly, Daryl, reports down at those meetings is that there is a building coalition for the tush push being removed from the NFL. Your thoughts?
I'm all for it. I am all for it. I don't like the play. I like the mano-a-mano part of football. I don't like guys getting helped from behind. If you beat your guy, you beat your guy. But having four guys line up behind you and shoving you forward, I never liked the play. I've been consistent in that. But I wouldn't be surprised if that ultimately does get banned, because it seems to be like there's a little bit of a momentum to because originally folks were against it. They were like, it's fine, leave it be, nobody's getting hurt. But now it seems like the tide has turned in the opposite direction.
Daryl, thank you very much for the time. All the best to you and yours.
You bet, guys.
The Dangerous One, Daryl Ryder, brought to you by Scheiben Jewelers, Cleveland's premier jewelry store. Something came to my attention last week. Charles Robinson was on a podcast, and I asked Daryl a pointed question about Jimmy Haslam's involvement with going to the dinners and meeting these players and so on and so forth here. Here is Charles Robinson, though. Kind of goes with all that stuff. This is from last week about, and we're going to dig it all up again, who is in charge of going after Deshaun Watson. Hit it.
The quarterback position with the Browns, that's an ownership position. And I say that because the mess that they're in right now with Deshaun Watson was ownership driven. People around the league know it. I feel like I've known it for a while, but now you definitely get the sense that a multitude across the league, they don't pin that on Andrew Berry, the general manager, Kevin Stefanski. They know that when Deshaun Watson became someone who was on their radar, that Haslam basically took the controls and said, I'm going to get this done. That's why the finances, the fully guaranteed $240 million deal happened, was because of Jimmy Haslam. And I think as much as people look at quarterbacks and they paint, how does this guy fit Kevin Stefanski's system? What assets do they have to move? You don't hear a lot of people talking about Haslam, and they should be, because the hole and the problem created, I think internally, if everyone is being honest, including Jimmy Haslam, they know the problem was created by the owner.
I misspoke. That audio, not courtesy of a podcast. I said podcast. That's 102.5 The Game down in Nashville, Tennessee. Now, I expect you talked about this on Friday to some degree, so I might be rehashing it just as my first crack at it. I got no problem with Charles Robinson or anything he said. You and I, Lima, we've been steadfast on our opinion of how this all unraveled and how it all started, and when we knew that they were going to take a look down there in Houston and talk about the ins and outs and what have yous of what they could and couldn't do to be able to bring in Deshaun Watson. You and I knew that. We've said this knowing that there's going to be many people who say the contrary around the league. Jason has backed us up, Lloyd. I don't mean to speak for you. You can speak up for yourself at any time, but I think I'm saying the right thing here so far. Jason has backed us up. Like, the initial thought, they had to be sold to it. The Haslams had to be sold to it. They liked Baker Mayfield. They liked him a lot. They had to be sold to the idea, and then it reached a point, as Jason has noted as well, it reached a point where they believed that there was no return. And so I don't think that Andrew Berry was advocating pounding a table for a guaranteed contract that leaves you no outs. I just think that this was definitely an ownership that knew that they had signed off on 2 years of a building process that was an ugly building process that had a lot of fans upset. You've drafted good players within that process that kind of led to this moment. They had a taste.
Thumbtack presents the ins and outs of caring for your home. Out. Uncertainty. Self-doubt. Stressing about not knowing where to start. In. Plans and guides that make it easy to get home projects done. Out. Word art. Sorry, live, laugh, lovers. In. Knowing what to do, when to do it, and who to hire. Start caring for your home with confidence. Download Thumbtack today.
Today's episode is sponsored by NerdWallet's Smart Money Podcast. Making financial decisions shouldn't feel like filling out basketball brackets. Too many choices, too much noise, and no one wants a busted budget. NerdWallet's Smart Money Podcast cuts through the clutter. Their finance journalists break down real-world money decisions with clear, research-backed insights. From investing to home buying to credit cards, the nerds help you navigate major financial decisions with confidence. Make smarter financial plays today. No luck required. Follow NerdWallet's Smart Money Podcast wherever you listen.
Hi, this is Javon, your Blinds.com design consultant.
Oh, wow, a real person.
Yep, I'm here to help with everything from selecting the perfect window treatments to...
Well, I've got a complicated project.
No problem. We make the complex simple. I can even help schedule a professional measure and install.
I didn't realize you did that.
We can also send you samples fast and free.
Wow, I mean, I always thought I needed a designer to come to my home, but scheduling's always a nightmare.
Not with Blinds.com. We're on your schedule, and there's no haggling, pressure, or hidden fees either.
I just might have to do more.
Whatever you need. How about you tell me what you had in mind?
Okay, then. So the first room we're looking at is for guests coming over, and I'm thinking of something.
Blinds.com has covered over 25 million windows, all backed by a 100% satisfaction guarantee. Shop Blinds.com now and save up to 45% site-wide. Rules and restrictions may apply.
It's no surprise that facial hair is personal. It grows from your face. That's why Dollar Shave Club makes the razors, but you make the rules. Whether you're going smooth shaven or maintaining a beard, Dollar Shave Club offers shave and grooming products that are always high quality, but never overpriced. Dollar Shave Club products are now available everywhere. Or visit their site right now for 20% off $20 or more and get your products delivered right to your door. Visit dollarshaveclub.com/shaveup and use promo code SHAVEUP for 20% off $20 or more. And remember, whatever you shave, welcome to the club.
Take me out to the ball game.
What are you doing?
Did you know DirecTV has the most MLB games?
So you're singing.
Yeah, they put your favorite teams front and center right when you turn it on. Buy me some cold cuts and flapjacks.
Those aren't even the words.
I'm allergic to peanuts.
Stream DirecTV, home of the most MLB games. Visit DirecTV.com. Claim based on total games offered on national and regional sports networks. RSNs available with choice package or higher. Availability of RSNs varies by zip code and package.
The playoffs. They didn't know if the quarterback they had was going to get them to the playoffs. And yes, in hindsight, was not the right move. But even though he's grown, he said he's grown, it doesn't matter for people. To that notice of him being involved now, I think that this is a guy who knows that not a lot of people have been a fan of his quarterback here over these last 3 years, know that it is not going to be an easy scenario to fix that quarterback position. And I think he wants to know everything there is to know about any of these players. That's why they went to dinner in Pennsylvania with Abdul Carter. That's why they went to dinner with all these guys. They did the private workouts. Whether or not you're comfortable with that, I've always said it just depends on what the fan wants. If it's exactly what the fan wants them to do, they're going to be comfortable with it. If it's not what the fan wants them to do, then they're going to be very uncomfortable with it. It's just in the eye of the person listening or the person listening.
Of course, the owner's got to sign off on all the big ticket items.
But also, I don't think an owner is going to go out after this is all said. And this is in a way the beauty of this. He's not going to come out and say that, yeah, Andrew Berry led me around to do all this. He's not going to do that. He's not going to do that. It's where the buck stops.
Well, what I want to know, listen, going back to, and I know we're rehashing out old stuff, but it can inform how you think about the new stuff.
Exactly.
So I think it's important. So do we think that, let's say Charles Robinson is 100% accurate at what he's saying, like, oh, yeah, around the league. We all know that was a Jimmy Haslam move. So are you telling me that both Andrew Berry and Kevin Stefanski – like that they tried to dissuade him, tried to protest, and they were overruled? Or did they also like him and say, okay, Andrew Berry, here's how we can make it work. Kevin Stefanski, here's the type of offense we can structure to make it work. Like, don't we think that's more likely the scenario? I would be stunned if the two of them would be like, we don't want this guy, and Jimmy Haslam's like, yeah, but I really want him. Well, we think this is stupid. We don't think he should go in that direction. Well, you know what? I'm going to do it anyway. Do we really think it played out that way?
No. No. No?
I would be absolutely... No,
oh,
I don't think
okay,
it...
Oh, okay, because you're looking at me and I'm going...
Well, I wonder if they said, this is probably not the best, and Jimmy came back with the, can you make it work?
Hold on.
And I'm sure any coach is going to go, we can make anything work.
Well, it might be Kenny Pickett. They might be forced to make work this year.
Well, now they're going to have to make that work. If that's,
oh, gosh.
So what I mean is, like, they what scouting and pro personnel, and remember, I think people forget this sometimes, that Andrew Berry's background was in pro personnel. Like, he was not the draft guy. He was the scouting guys around the league. They're two different jobs. Mm-hmm. I mean, it's meshed when you're the GM. Obviously, you oversee all of it. But he was the guy that evaluated, you know, the players in the league. Those were mm-hmm. his jobs. And so he hands, I'm sure it's a one-page evaluation of Deshaun Watson to Jimmy Haslam. And I'm sure it wasn't a bunch of negatives. I'm sure it was, hey, pretty good. Like, that's what the job would be, right? Like, maybe Andrew Berry would be like, I think he might have lost it over 2 years, but like, why? Why? What would be the evidence that he would have lost it? Like, he wouldn't.
If you know the owner really wants him, do you let that influence your one page? I mean, you got one page. Do you let that influence how you maybe put your evaluations on there?
You would want to. I think naturally there'd be a part of it depending on your job status, but then you don't because he is completely reliant on your honesty. Whatever that may mean, he's relying upon your honesty. So if you play that into it, you're like, yeah, I mean, it could. But then it ultimately ends with, hey, you're the owner of the football team. You can do whatever you please. And again, this will not be the last time it's brought up because, you know, Daryl brings up, hey, let's draft Travis Hunter, number 2 overall, then trade back in. All right, I think I know exactly how this is going to end, and you guys all know exactly how this is going to end. And I hate to be this way and talk this negatively. This ain't going to end very well. Unless Shedeur Sanders ends up playing really well, or Will Howard, or Jackson Dart, or somebody, Jalen Milroe surprises us, and they end up playing really well, this ain't going to end real well. And so all there's going to be left is this dead horse that we've been beating for the last 3 years. And no offense to Charles Robinson. Like, there were people tweeting at me on Thursday going, you're going to come on the air on Monday and tell this guy he's full of beans? I don't say Charles Robinson's full of beans. Charles Robinson isn't full of beans. Charles Robinson talks to people all over the NFL. But knowing what I know, and Lyman knowing what you know, I'm cross-referencing with it all. Yeah, I don't believe it was his idea first and foremost because I think that he really, really loved at the time Baker Mayfield. But then he reached a point of no return, and the timeline fits into it. You're the first team out on Deshaun Watson.
Right.
He didn't want to play here. He didn't want to come here. He doesn't like the weather. He doesn't like it here. And he didn't like it here. And so you went back to him, and you had a guaranteed contract. Well, no one's going to turn that down. He'll play in Siberia for a guaranteed $230 million. So no one's going to turn that down, but now we're the ones left holding the bag, and he can't come out and say he was led to that. So now the only thing you can do, all right, I'll try to learn from my whatever mistakes I've made in the past. Because if they're not going to take a quarterback, damn, you better be damn sure the player that you're taking is going to be able to help out. So the Abdul Carter stuff where people keep bringing up Courtney Brown and all that other stuff, that's scary stuff that I don't think is even true and worthwhile. Comparing him to Courtney Brown is a nasty, nasty thing to do. My goodness gracious. Courtney Brown would have been great had he not got hurt. But when we hear stress reaction, Penn State wearing number 11, even though that's a historic number that they're supposed to wear, it kind of scares some people out there. But you need to make sure that the type of player you're getting is the type of player that's going to be able to deal with this type of season that's about to come, because I don't know if you're going to win many football games at all, and then be a guy who you can count on in the locker room. And frankly, let's be serious. You got a guy who's going into his ninth year, who's a bona fide first ballot Hall of Famer. He ain't never been the type of leader you wanted him to be in the locker room. Can Abdul Carter be that guy? So if I own the football team, yeah, I'd like to know more, because I can't go out and just, hey, he's the best overall player. Daffy Duck, as callers have said before, could have drafted Myles Garrett. I'm fine with that. He'll go in as a Brown, the whole thing. That's great. But if you're going to get this thing going in the right direction, you need somebody to be able to hold people accountable as you start to switch through this thing. So if Abdul Carter ain't a quarterback, he better be the type of heart and soul player that can keep this thing on the right direction, because it's still going to be a rocky road in 2025. So these are the decisions you have to make. So damn, he should be there. He should be there. As much as that makes a lot of people uncomfortable, if it's my money, I'd want it to be there. I would want to be there too. I own the team. I own the right to be there and to figure out whether or not these guys could be the type of guys they're going to get. Because if you're not going to get me a quarterback, that means we are going to have a rough go of it this year. And you're going to have to win some games to be able to stick around for 2026. You get a quarterback, then I'm going to have to show a little bit of restraint, because I just can't hand Shador Sanders or Will Howard or Jackson Dart or anybody else that we've mentioned here over the last 5 minutes. I can't just hand them the keys to the castle just like I did with Baker Mayfield. There's guys like Joe Burrow who are born ready to take over a franchise. I can't expect any of these guys to be that guy. You can't just do that. You can't just hand the quarterback your keys and set the thing on autopilot, because they'll drive the car right into the wall the way the other guy did. And then that convinces you of ideas like trading them, getting rid of them, and going after Deshaun Watson.
Yeah, I mean, I feel good. Obviously, it's March 31st, so there's still a draft to be had. There's still it's not August 1st. So I will say this, Kenny Pickett's the guy that I believe in, that we believe in. So we'll see how it all shakes out.
That's Kevin Stefanski of the league meetings. Hey, oh, come on. Ain't no way he believes that. Come on, Kev.
You don't believe him?
Nah.
That he believes in Kenny Pickett?
Nah. You know what? Prove me wrong, Kevin. Prove me wrong. If he can unlock him, fine. Unlock him.
I mean, he's had to believe in Baker Mayfield, PJ Walker, Deshaun Watson,
DTR,
Joe Flacco, Case Keenum.
We have Tyler Huntley.
He's had to believe in a lot of guys. I don't see why he wouldn't just believe in Kenny Pickett.
So I was going to talk about the opening of the season, and then I just saw this. Thank God, Owen, you brought it to my attention. I'll talk about that coming up at 9:40, because we have some audio here that has just rolled in. Guys, good job on you guys getting this rolled in very quickly. This is Kevin Stefanski, and he has thoughts on, ladies and gentlemen, this is a quarterback that a lot of people have been excited about. All right, here's Kevin's thoughts on Jackson Dart.
Very impressive young man, has been coached really well. You know, Joe Judge is down there as his quarterback coach, and Joe's, you know, former NFL head coach, former special teams coach, offense, defense. So Joe kind of knows the game, so you can tell that he's been really well coached and brought along the right way in this game. So impressive off the field, and then did a nice job on the field as well.
All right, that's Kevin on Jackson Dart. Anybody?
Kenny, I can't shake that damn... Oh, there's another thing I can't shake. So not only the game that we were both watching against Florida,
yeah,
but he also had a game where he just did a Brandon Whedon-type toss,
yeah,
straight up in the air about 10 yards. It was intercepted. It's like one of the worst things.
We've had a bunch of those guys over the last 3 years.
I mean, there's lots of quarterbacks who do that.
You know how something gets ingrained in your mind? Now that's like the only thing I could see him throwing now.
Jeez.
Deshaun Watson threw a bullet past 8 yards backwards.
Yeah, he did.
I'll believe in anything at this point.
Here's Kevin on Jalen Milroe.
I don't see him just as a runner. That's certainly an element of his game. God's blessed him with the ability to make plays with his feet when necessary, but he's made plenty of throws in his career. So, again, another really impressive young man. Having gotten down there, spending some time with him and his family, I think he's done a really nice job just throughout this process.
Yes, he's attempted many throws in his career. That is correct. Guys, it's either a Hail Mary he's pulling the ball down, one of the two. There's no 8-yard slants. There's nothing like that. I'm sorry, guys. Hate me all you want. That'll be the guy they take.
That takes away from his Jackson Dart evaluation for me if he's thinking that of Jalen Milroe. Because I can't believe one and not believe the other.
Well, someone cut right to the chase here at the league meetings, and they asked Kevin, does he know who he'd like to take?
I'm not ready to turn the card in yet. The whole process is really important to me and to us. And there's still quarterbacks that we haven't seen throw live, still haven't gotten to spend time with them. And then we have our coaches meetings. I like a lot of guys in this class, not just the quarterback position. You know, I think this is an exciting time because there's really, really good football players.
Isn't it incredible throughout this whole process? And we talk about how comprehensive a process it is. And he's like, there are guys we still haven't even been able to talk to. Like, I don't think people realize how... Look, this is why when we talk... And you weren't in at the end of the week when we talk pro days versus workouts. And I was just a little surprised they didn't reverse the order when it came to Miami, Penn State, and Ohio State. They had those opportunities, but they skipped out on the pro days, but they did the individual workouts. But then Andrew Berry didn't get to go to Ohio State's pro day. And it is amazing just how little time they have to actually sit down and have real meetings with the guys that they could draft. It's pretty incredible.
Well, if John Dorsey didn't know by April 1st, why the hell does he need to make his mind up? Should I push mine back? Should I push my mind back then? If he doesn't know, do we have to go through the process?
Honestly, this might be the year where you could possibly have to do that.
Kevin goes on a little bit further about any idea of a timeline for when a rookie could be playing in 2025.
Every situation is different. Every player is different. What they're ready to do and when they're ready to do it, you just have to trust in your ability to discern that with them in your building. So I think that totally varies by player.
All right, here's the final one we'll play in this segment for you. There's a lot of people asking about Abdul Carter, a lot of fans, because they're like, forget these quarterbacks, let's just take Abdul Carter, who, by the way, Courtney Brown wore 86 in college, did not wear 11. That was, LeVar Arrington. Thank good
he
God
was good
almighty.
At football.
Yeah.
He jumped over the line one time.
I just want to make that right. Real Xavier P was right about that to correct me here. Here is Kevin Stefanski about Abdul Carter.
Very, very impressive young man. I know a lot of people that know him, whether going back to high school and certainly throughout his college, but really, really impressive young man.
Now, would Abdul be an on-the-ball guy or off-the-ball guy?
He's been an off-the-ball linebacker, been an edge rusher. He's rushed from the inside. So when you're evaluating a player, a lot of the discussion then turns into fit and how you would utilize said player. So we've had a lot of conversations with Jim and the defensive staff on all these guys. And obviously Abdul is somebody you talk about where you would line him up. And I don't think there's a limiting factor there where you would put him.
Kenny, could you help me out here?
Yeah.
Could you give me some nitty-gritty? The off the ball.
I put him on the edge and go.
Well, that's what I want to know.
It's where you like drop in the pass coverage and things like what you could do on the edge if you really needed him to. Put him on the edge and go. Get that hand in the dirt. Get that 4-point stance going. Get that butt in the air and go. Get that nice. I know that he's a little bit, and he is. He's been a little bit weaker against some of the road or the run blocking type of
this long
nitty gritty football.
It's time for nitty gritty football.
Jamison Crowder wheel route down the right sideline. Jordan Reed touchdown and a 4x1 individual ISO slant.
Let's get down to the nitty gritty.
I'm not doing the job.
Come on, do it, please. No. Please do it.
Flip right double X jet 36 counter naked waggle at 7 X quarter on 1. Ready effing break.
They put the hand on the dump, Owen.
Been great. Been worth it.
I thought it was going to fly. I thought you were going to let it fly.
Put his hands in the dirt. Get that butt up in the air and go after the quarterback. All right? Well, he's not great against the run. What did Myles Garrett didn't get paid to be great against the run? That's the same thing. When we talk about scores and let me defend Abdul Carter for a moment here. Stop talking ourselves out of this for a second here. If I'm going to sit there and bitch and moan about him not being great against the run, and yeah, he does. He loses his platform. He gets washed out at times. He's not tremendous at setting the edge. Those are all things you're going to hear from guys who you trust way more than me, okay? I'm a guarantee you that. I'm not drafting him for that. Number two overall, he's good against the run. I can find other guys who are good against the run. You know, in the third round, I can find guys who are good against the run. I need him going to the court. You get paid for sacks. You get paid to put guys on third down and long situations. That's what you're paid to do. Don't give me this, well, you ain't good against the run. I ain't going to make that. If I made that argument before, I'm sorry. I might have been drunk or I might have been cloudy on that throughout this offseason. I apologize, everybody.
But there were some good, for the sizzle reel, there are a couple plays with Abdul where he is just sprinting on the opposite side all the way to track somebody down. Similarly to Miles. Like, you're exactly right. You didn't draft Miles to be a run stopper.
Yeah.
But Miles would have those highlights where he was chasing a tailback that weighed 100 pounds less than him, and he was, like, keeping stride.
Yeah. I mean, they're both fast, and they're both fantastic, but, I mean, good God. Like, if you wanted to get someone later, like Michael Williams, Mikel Williams is probably, like, a first-round guy to a lot of people still, probably. He comes from a Georgia defense where you can play guys interior, you can play guys outside. Georgia has defenses. You can ask, like, they will run one look three times in a season, and that's it. Because they have nothing but studs on their defense. So you don't really know exactly what you're getting other than, hey, you might have to coach them up because they're studs because they come from Georgia. I mean, go ask Philadelphia about that. You could take a lot of guys who might be better at setting the run, who might be more powerful against the run. Nice Jack Sawyer might be strong and have a good base against the run. But you're not drafting Jack Sawyer number two overall. You're drafting Abdul Carter number two overall. And what are you going to end up paying him for? You pay him for getting to the quarterback and getting sacks. That's what you do. Myles Garrett has made $200 million in this business. Ain't nothing about him being good against the run. I'm not going to use that against Abdul Carter.
Street Easy asked former New Yorkers if there's anything they miss about life in New York City.
Let me put it this way. House of the Home Theater sounds appealing. But that's until you realize you no longer have a theater district.
Whether you're looking to rent or it's time to buy, Street Easy has the local expertise you need to never leave NYC. Go to StreetEasy.com to learn more. Street Easy is an assumed name of Zillow Inc., which has licenses in all 50 states.
The Women's Hoop Show, a podcast hosted by me, Jordan Robinson, brings you fresh women's basketball voices and breakdowns every week. I'll be joined by hoop experts all year long. Find the Women's Hoop Show on the free Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.